What's going on, Eagles fans? You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. As always, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here on the Saturday edition of the show. We are wrapping up our fourth podcast of the week, and I am joined by one of my co-hosts, one of them that has not been on the show in a long time, but I thought today it's the perfect topics to have this guy on. It's Mr. Lars Lewis. Lars, what's going on, sir? Welcome back to the show, my friend. How have you been?
You can't get rid of me, Louis.
You cannot. No matter how long you go without being on the show, I'm always going to drag you back.
I like this show. It's going to be a quick hitter, but yeah. I feel like it's been – these are two topics that I feel Eagles fans across the world are extremely interested in.
Agreed. I think it's a very fan-oriented show today, and it's our fourth of the week. And again, we're doing 4 to 6 of these a week. Make sure to subscribe on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. We are available on those platforms or on LockedOnEagles.com. And today's podcast, as always, over the past month, is sponsored by our good friends at Built Bar, the best protein bar you can find out there right now. Honestly, tastes exactly like a candy bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first shipment. I've been eating a lot of their protein bars. Lars is a big protein guy as well. He's been munching on them as well. Also, the Built Boost Energies. They're these awesome vitamin mixes for your water. Really damn good product. Awesome company. So make sure to head over to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. So Lars, today on the show, one of the topics we're going to talk about, I've kind of been harping on, I would say, for a bunch of the episodes over the past couple months, and it's the reunion, potential reunion, of LeSean McCoy, the Eagles' all-time leading rusher, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who are looking for a veteran running back. And of course, with Carlos Hyde signing with the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, with Devonta Freeman basically weirdly holding out as a free agent, as an unsigned free agent, like he is holding out for more money than I think he deserves. It kind of comes down to McCoy or sticking with what you have in-house with Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Corey Clement. So I didn't plan on continuing to talk about McCoy in this reunion. I've done it probably 3 to 5 times on this podcast, but there has been continued development.
Louis,
maybe a little bit more.
Fair. How about 30?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm going to call
you out on that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a sucker for these reunions, and maybe I'm being a bit facetious with how many times I brought up McCoy coming back to Philadelphia, but I can't help it. Like the 10-year-old.
You were all in on the Jeremy Mack.
Yeah. That's right, dude. And you know, obviously, for 3 years straight, I was all in on the DeSean Jackson reunion, but that worked. I talked that into existence. I'm not going to take credit for it, but the LeSean McCoy thing, I feel like as long as I continue to keep this thing alive, Philadelphia could bring their all-time leading rusher back. So that's what we'll get into in segments 2 and segments 3. But Lars, I would say, would you agree the Eagles are one of the most innovative franchises, one of the most forward-thinking, progressive franchises over the last 4 years, really since Doug Peterson took over?
Well, I would say so, considering that you look at the amount of turnover regarding right. First, it would be Carson Wentz as quarterback. Then it could be Nick mm-hmm. Foles. You have two guys that are very opposite quarterbacks in terms of playing style.
For sure.
And Doug Peterson as the head coach and obviously as the offensive mind has been able to get the best out of both those guys. So you could, yeah, I think if you separate the front office with Howie Roseman, I'm thinking just strictly on the field. Yes, I consider the Eagles to be a very innovative team throughout the league.
No, schematically 100% with Doug Peterson, and he's also one of the coaches that has gone for it the most on fourth down of any head coach over the last 4 years, and also they're a team that goes for it when it comes to two-point conversions. This is a team that listens to analytics and not just coaching. Like, I love that that's the first thing you brought up, but also, like, the front office in general. Like, Howie Roseman, somebody that... How many teams have really caught up with the compensatory pick formula? I don't really know. Howie Roseman also was one of the first GMs to really use trading as like a main avenue of talent acquisition. So overall, from top to bottom, Lars, when it comes to the players, when it comes to the coaches, when it comes to the front office, this is a very forward-thinking, aggressive team overall, and that's continuing when it comes to their rule proposals each offseason. So the Eagles, for those that don't know, this offseason proposed to the NFL, I think it was in February or March, they proposed an alternative to the onside kick. And what the alternative proposal was is that a team, maybe you're trailing in the fourth quarter, you score, but you're still down by at least one possession. You only have maybe one, no timeouts left remaining in the football game. The Eagles proposed in that scenario, or just in any scenario in general, throughout a game, instead of electing to go for an onside kick, the Eagles propose that the team can choose to have a 4th and 15 at their own 25-yard line to regain possession. Now, there it does come with some caveats. You can only do it twice in a game. You cannot change your mind once a team informs the referee that they're going to go for this 4th and 15 rather than, you know, kick an onside kick or a kickoff, that you have to go for it. Even if you were to get penalized for a holding call, for an offsides, you know, whatever it is, an offensive pass interference, if the defense as well, if there's a penalty, like, that's still the play that's going to come. You can't say, ah, man, we got a holding call, so redo of down, we're going to just go for an onside kick or kickoff. No, that's not the case. So there are some caveats to it. However, Lars, I really like this idea of having a 4th and 15. Maybe not just in general the 4th and 15 idea, but just an alternative to the onside kick, because it's almost an impossible play now, where in 2018, only 8% of onside kicks had a successful result. Last year, only 6%. 2 of 32 onside kicks last year were converted. So to me, you need something better. And let's be honest, like, a 4th and 15 late in the game with the game on the line, like, that's entertaining as hell.
That's way more. I think that's way more exciting than
way more.
A futile onside kick, where ever since they revised the rules in 2018, it's like you said, like, onside kicks, and this is from Michael David Smith, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Onside kicks have been successful only 10.5% of the time since the revised rules in 2018.
It's such a now, long shot, dude.
It's such a long shot. It's down almost 7% from the original onside kick rules, where from 2013 to 2017, the success rate of onside kicks was 16.3%.
Right. I do wonder if it's – because, again – I love the idea of giving a team another alternative to the onside kick, because it's just so hard for a team to not only kick the ball, remember, it has to go past 11 yards for an entire kickoff team to get down there and hope the ball's high enough, it's wobbly enough, it's fast enough to get there where you have a chance at least at a fumble or a potential drop by the kickoff team. Like, it's just such a low percentage play. So for me, it's such a crapshoot, and for me to have an alternative is awesome. I do, however, wonder, the conservative person in me wonders, if a 4th and 15 is too easy for a team like the Philadelphia Eagles with a guy like Carson Wentz, who just last year alone, let's look at week 2 against the Atlanta Falcons, on 4th and long throws up a wing and a prayer to Nelson Aguilar, who catches the football against the New England Patriots. Carson Wentz puts the ball, I think it was like 4th and 14, 4th and 16, on the money in the back of the end zone, again to Nelson Aguilar, who drops the football. Like, Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. I don't know, maybe, Lars, is 4th and 15 too much of a radical move to the complete opposite side, right? Where it's complete, because, like, the onside kick is too impossible. Is 4th and 15 too possible?
And I have a number for you that can help with this assessment.
Okay.
In the 2019 season, NFL offenses that needed to gain 15 yards, either third down or fourth down, they were successful 15.9% of the time, which is really close to the original onside kick number from 2013 to 2017 before the revised kickoff rules.
That's a great stat.
So if you actually think about it, it has the same odds as when the original onside kick rules were in place.
That's fair. No, that's fair. And also, overall, historically, 4th and 15 plus has a historical success rate of 16.8%. And again, the historical average of onside kicks, like, throughout the NFL's history is 13.2%. So the numbers don't seem to show this crazy radical change. And again, like, everybody gets that same opportunity. So I really like the idea. I think everybody's on the same even playing field. It's super entertaining. And for the Eagles especially, like, when you have a Carson Wentz, when you have a Patrick Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson, when you have
even a Josh Allen who can just tuck the ball and run.
100%. Me and you both cover the Bills in the Buffalo media market as well. Like, you have that kind of mobile, big arm, never say die quarterback. You have the advantage. So from an Eagles perspective, I love it. From an entertainment perspective, I love it. Even from an analytics perspective, it doesn't seem like this radical change. I wonder.
I'm kind of surprised that college football didn't try this.
No, that's a good point. fourth and 15, again, like just the initial non-analytic, non-deep thinker part of me sees that as, whoa, like that's too far of a change to the other side. But then again, when the numbers show up and you start to think about it more, and again, with everybody having that same opportunity, if it came down to you either only get the onside kick or you get this alternative that's a fourth and 15 proposed by the Eagles, I'll take this instead. If I can meet
the
middle and maybe...
Right, the onside kick was basically a death sentence.
Right. If I can meet in the middle more and go like fourth and 20, maybe that's my preference. But if it comes down to, again, it's either fourth and 15 or nothing, I'll take that to the bank, because onside kicks, again, like 8% in 2018, 6% success rate in 2019, it's almost become an impossible play.
Absolutely. And fourth and 20, that is feasible. I think fourth and 15 would be a good start, because
I'll take it.
I don't know the exact percentages of the 4th and 20 conversions. I'm pretty sure the people in Philadelphia know the 4th and 26 play.
Good point. Exactly. Good point.
I think 4th and 15 is a good start.
I agree 100%. So I love that the Eagles are the team that proposed this. I love that it's gaining steam, according to Albert Breer and a number of NFL insiders. And honestly, Lars, I think this might happen in 2020, so that's really exciting.
I hope we have football in 2020.
Well, yes, of course. That's the goal. And if they do, I do think that there will be an alternative to the onside kick, and it's because of this progressive franchise that is the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase here, and Lars Lewis joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today we are sponsored by Built Bar. Again, guys, this is a candy bar, basically, that is built in the form of a Built Bar. Built Bar has developed an awesome protein bar that has 16 awesome flavors, 20 grams of protein, so it's a super healthy alternative to your main snack of choice. And also, again, as an overnight radio guy, I can attest to this. Their Built Boost energy mixes are awesome. And even if they didn't have that energy plus, like that incentive, I would be drinking this as a normal drink. They have so many awesome flavors. And again, I would think my protein bar flavor of choice, Lars, is the orange vanilla. When it comes to the Built Boost change, I know it's very specific.
Your taste is your taste. I'll just go as far as that.
But that's what I love about Built Bar, is they have flavors like that. Like, you have to go deep into the flavors, the taste buds, and there you find Louis DiBiase. And with Built Boost, again, there's like there's black raspberry, lemonade, there's black cherry lemonade, there's so many different. Pineapple strawberry was one I had the other day. They're fantastic.
Now we're talking.
So there's an awesome amount of products at builtbar.com, and if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first shipment. So $10 off by using LOCKEDON, the promo code on builtbar.com. Louis DiBiase, Lars Lewis joining you here on Locked On Eagles. We thank Built Bar for sponsoring the podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here joining you alongside Lars Lewis. You can subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on lockedoneagles.com. 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, because we're always talking birds after the show, at DiBiase LOE or at Lars Lewis 12. Okay, Lars, let's get into now another topic here. We talked about the onside kick alternative that the Eagles proposed to the league, a potential 4th and 15. We both really like that idea. Now let's talk about another idea that at least I really like. I'm curious to get your thoughts. I think in segment one you said you do as well. And it's the idea of bringing back the Eagles' all-time leading rusher, LeSean McCoy. He's 32 years old. He's coming off a season that I thought was pretty damn efficient with the Kansas City Chiefs, but it did not end the way he wanted. It did end in a Super Bowl ring, but he was inactive throughout the playoffs. Well, against the Houston Texans, he was active, but he only played a couple snaps. Lars, I think the stars are aligning for Shady McCoy to make a comeback. You saw Carlos Hyde sign with the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. The Eagles were interested in former Atlanta Falcons starter Devonta Freeman, but that guy to me is being super irrational. Like, the Seahawks offered him a 1-year deal worth $4 million. He turned that down, and apparently, according to Michael Silver of NFL Network, he's willing to sit out the entire season if offers if offers do not meet his expectation, which is crazy. And according to NFL insider Adam Kaplan, the Eagles are not willing to throw a lot of money at this position. And that makes perfect sense. Like, Miles Sanders is going to be your version of Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be the bell cow. You have Boston Scott there. You saw what that guy could do over the final 4 weeks of the season. I'm a big believer still in Corey Clement. I know some people aren't still, but to me, like, you have a solid trio of young running backs heading into 2020. The idea of Devonta Freeman having any leverage over the Eagles, considering they were interested, like, is, to me, really nuts. So for me, LeSean McCoy makes perfect sense that he's not going to need a lot of money to come home. He wants this to happen. He's been speaking it into existence on his Instagram Lives, on NFL Network. And I think, Lars, he's embracing this role that he would have as a veteran leader to Miles Sanders, to Boston Scott, and to Corey Clement. So you know I am a sucker for these reunions, and I want nothing more than to see Carson Wentz hoist the Lombardi Trophy with DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy on that podium, considering all the adversity those guys have faced, the criticism, and I just want to see that giant middle finger to Chip Kelly. I really do, and that's, I'm not going to lie, a huge part of this motivation for me and LeSean McCoy coming back to Philadelphia is the fan of me that wants to avenge what happened in 2013 and 2014, but I don't care. Like, I'm going for it.
Now, my friend, that would be the real dream team.
Yeah, right?
That is the real dream team. Now, I feel
that's like the Lou DiBiase, like, 2010 to 2016 dream team right there. Like, those guys, I won't lie, like, those are three of my favorite players in Eagles history. Wentz, McCoy, Jackson. I won't lie again, Lars. Like, the fan of me wants this to happen. I want to see Carson Wentz in the back of the end zone celebrating with Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, like, the combination of all these different Eagles eras. Like, that would be an awesome story to have it this year.
And I think that even the analyst in you can attest of having LeSean McCoy over Devonta Freeman. I mean, let's go over some numbers. Since 2015, the most games with 100-plus rushing yards, LeSean McCoy is third with 15.
Right.
Devonta Freeman's not even on the is not even in the top 10.
Well, and Devonta Freeman can't stay healthy, Lars. That's my thing too. Right. Like, I think he presents more upside.
McCoy's only missed what, 12 games?
Yeah,
and McCoy has 12 years.
McCoy has always stayed healthy throughout his career, and I think Freeman presents more upside if Miles Sanders were to go down and also rotating in. But Freeman is just a walking injury report. I cannot trust him to stay healthy if Miles Sanders were to get hurt. And the other thing about this, Lars, is I think on Twitter people are too harsh on McCoy when it comes to his character concerns. I do not think he is this locker room concern that some people say. I actually talked to one of his former offensive linemen on Twitter the other day, and all he could say was positive things about what McCoy was as a teammate. And also, McCoy's best friends with Frank Gore, and both of us covering the Buffalo Bills, we know what a positive impact Frank Gore had on Devin Singletary, the rookie last year in the Bills' backfield, and what a positive role model Frank Gore was to Devin Singletary. And I think McCoy has talked with Gore, and I think you see through the media what McCoy has said about wanting to help somebody like a Miles Sanders turn into a star, and I think he's totally embracing this new role as a veteran leader that really just rotates in next season and potentially his last year in the NFL.
Yeah, I truly believe that. Even LeSean McCoy with the Chiefs last year still averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Yep. He still has some tread on the tires. He hasn't had a major injury in his career. He's 32 years old. I mean, look, I get that once running backs start hitting 30, they start to tail off.
For sure.
Guys like LeSean McCoy, yes, he's not the same player he was when he first started Philadelphia, or even the first couple of years in Buffalo.
For sure.
LeSean McCoy is still a very serviceable running back in the NFL. He's going to be healthy. He can come off the bench if you need him. And Miles Sanders last year had 1,327 scrimmage yards. That's the most in Eagles history for a rookie.
That's right.
LeSean McCoy is third with 945. I feel like LeSean McCoy can look at Miles Sanders and say, that is a young me.
Well, it really is, Lars.
I want this guy to feed me.
It's crazy that you said that, because I was just thinking, like, watching McCoy's film throughout his career, watching Miles Sanders last year, these two players are so similar. Like, they really are. So that's the difference, too. Like, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary in Buffalo, yeah, there's one veteran running back that can help a rookie running back, but they're a different style. McCoy, Sanders, like, Lars, those are two very similar players.
Yeah, and you have someone with McCoy's experience, and you look at the success that McCoy's had in his career. Mm-hmm. A guy like Miles Sanders could absorb so much from him.
Right.
And Miles Sanders is already a really good running back in the NFL.
Oh, I already think he's a star, yeah, for sure.
And I think that if LeSean McCoy can join this roster for this year, and you look at the makeup of this team, LeSean McCoy, I think there's an added incentive outside of rejoining just Philadelphia, outside of mentoring Miles Sanders. There's one underlying aspect that I feel like should be talked about. He didn't get to play in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
Yep, that's true.
Sure, he technically has a Super Bowl ring, having played for the Chiefs that season.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure that he wants to have a Super Bowl as an Eagle.
I agree, man, and there's nothing I want more. Again, I know I said it earlier, but to see like Carson Wentz, like these three especially, considering the storylines and what they've gone through, Carson Wentz, LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, to see those guys hoisting a trophy together, that would, I honestly think, Lars, that might be as sweet as the franchise's first ever Super Bowl. Because McCoy and Jackson specifically, like, those guys felt gypped. They thought they should have been on that 2017 roster. And if Chip Kelly doesn't fire them, or really just throw them out of town, basically firing them by cutting DeSean Jackson, by trading LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, and we know how that went. You know, if that doesn't happen, and also, like, Jackson almost came back to Philly in 2017, but he chose Tampa. The Eagles, over the past 4 years, have tried to reunite with McCoy. In 2017, they were considering McCoy instead of Jay Ajayi, but the Buffalo Bills were not interested. In 2018, it was the same thing at the trade deadline. They reinquired. The Bills were still not interested. And then even last summer, the Eagles were interested in McCoy. So I think it makes perfect sense for this reunion to happen. And again, like, yes, the analyst in me thinks this makes sense, but I'm not going to lie. I'll be honest. The fan in me, the storyteller in me, wants to see this happen, because what a story it would be to see this new era of Eagles football helped brought along by two of the most explosive offensive weapons in franchise history. And nobody's worn number 25 since 2014. Like, they're going to retire that number in the rafters.
You know, there's a wild number. I know this is outside of the current topic of having LeSean McCoy join Philadelphia now, and I found this out on Twitter. Since 2010, quarterbacks have rushed for 500-plus yards 24 times. Only two running backs have eclipsed 50 receptions and 500 yards during that decade.
Okay.
LeSean McCoy,
ultimate weapon,
and Christian McCaffrey are the only two guys.
Yeah. I mean, again,
had that number of 50 receptions and 500 yards. Everyone else had fewer than 400.
I think this is a Hall of Famer that is honestly someone that still has a lot left in the tank. It really is. His numbers in Philly, like, people don't talk about how crazy it is that in just six seasons, he became the franchise all-time leading rusher. And the Eagles have had some incredible running backs, Lars. Steve Van Buren in the 40s. You, as a Notre Dame guy, love Ricky Waters. Wilbert Montgomery. I know I'm kind of going all around this timeline here in not correct order, but like Ricky Waters, Montgomery, Steve Van Buren, Brian Westbrook. I mean, Miles Sanders now coming in. LeSean McCoy. And even in 2017, like, we got to give our props to Jay Ajayi, to LeGarrette Blount. The Eagles have had some awesome running backs, and for McCoy to stand out in all of them, he is one of, to me, the greatest offensive talents that I've ever seen play on a football field.
If the Eagles get back to the Super Bowl, if we have football this year,
yeah,
imagine Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, LeSean McCoy, and Corey Clement, everybody, like three guys in a rotation, and you have Miles Sanders. It's just like 2017.
100%, Lars. Let's take one break here on Locked On Eagles. When we come back and wrap up the show, we'll continue to hit on this potential reunion between LeSean McCoy and the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase, Lars Lewis, this is Locked On Eagles. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans across the globe, thank you so much for tuning into the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Lars, we talked about, I think, most of the off-the-field stuff. Like, you talked a lot about what McCoy can still do on the field. I talked about more about what the leader he can be for Miles Sanders, for Boston Scott, for Corey Clement, how cool it would be just as a fan to see an all-time Eagles great come back to the team, much like it was DeSean Jackson last year. But as we were talking about, you especially, McCoy can still play. I know most running backs, when they're 32 years old, like, they don't have a lot left in the tank. And I know that LeSean McCoy is not near the player he was when he left the Eagles in 2015, or what he was with the Bills when he left in 2018, 2019. But this is still a guy last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, Lars, that was 12th in yards per carry for running backs last year when he had at least 100 carries. So of running backs that had at least 100 carries, LeSean McCoy was 12th in yards per carry. He became only the fourth player in NFL history to average 4.6 yards or higher in his 11th season, only the second in the last 35 years. So this is a guy I still think, yes, the storyline is awesome. I think he would be a huge leader to this team and to this young backfield, but I still think in a pinch, in certain spots, and if Miles Sanders went down rotating in with Boston Scott and Corey Clement, this is a guy that can still tote the rock pretty well and pretty explosively. He was never a guy with crazy long speed, but I watched every game, every snap of LeSean McCoy the other night, and I still saw a lot of short area burst, crazy footwork, and good hands. I think he can still contribute in Doug Peterson's offense. I really do.
Absolutely. You look at the remaining free agents, and I think, as we've mentioned, it boils down to LeSean McCoy and Devontae Freeman.
Yep.
Who's the better pass catcher? LeSean McCoy.
I agree.
No question. I feel like that is the – I think that's the most important – that's the most important aspect for Doug Peterson's offense is how well can you catch the football.
Well, and some people are saying, like, you need a power back to complement because you already have the pass catchers in Sanders and Scott and Clement. Like, those are three really good pass catching running backs. But Lars, like – I don't know. I'm okay with a power back like Jay Ajayi or LeGarrette Blount, but I don't think it's like a necessity in the modern day NFL. I would rather I want a well-rounded running back like LeSean McCoy. That
yeah,
if
you
Sanders
want
to go down,
you want to spread him out. It's basically a spread game now.
Like I want a running back that if Sanders goes down, I want somebody that can stay healthy and is proven to do so. And McCoy is that, and also can run the running back position, you know, through the A gap and through the B gap. So I think that's McCoy. I don't think you have to have necessarily this like power centric style.
And Miles Sanders got a bit of power to him. It's not like he's just
in the
strictly
pass blocking game
guy.
Too. Man,
he can get through the gap,
and he put a couple defenders on their backs last
year. That's why
pass
I feel like I don't think they have the need for a power back. I think Miles Sanders can basically do
also,
it all.
Corey Clement doesn't get enough credit for the power style he is. When he came out of Wisconsin, nobody thought he was a pass catching. You know, you as a Wisconsin guy too. You're a big Notre Dame Wisconsin guy. Corey Clement is an undrafted free agent rookie. Like, he wasn't somebody you thought was the next Darren Sproles. You thought, oh, this is more so a traditional, you know, in-between-the-tackles runner.
And that's for the most part, that's the Wisconsin style of running back.
Sure, yeah.
You put the rock in his gut, and he's just going to plow through someone. And that's – Corey Clement, despite a rather small size, was still that kind of running back. He was still – like, you're playing in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is – there's a reason why – that if you want an offensive lineman, you go to the Big Ten. Or you want a defensive lineman, you go to the Big Ten. You play the game in the trenches. And that's why he's going up against Big Ten guys, and he dominated. And right. I feel like that's an aspect that gets overlooked sometimes when you're looking at a running back.
So I don't think that McCoy presents the upside of a Devonta Freeman who's 4 years younger. I don't think McCoy presents the reliability of a Carlos Hyde if Miles Sanders went down. But McCoy has always stayed healthy throughout his career. And again, if you add Boston Scott and Corey Clement to the backfield, if Miles Sanders goes down, Miles Sanders, I think that those three, McCoy, Scott, Clement, they can get the job done. And if Sanders is healthy, McCoy is somebody rotating in as a veteran leader. I think he can be a perfect role player for this team. He can give you chunk plays. Last year with the Chiefs, he had 4 runs of 20-plus yards. He had 2 receptions of 20-plus yards. Lars, again, like I know a lot of people think, well, Andy Reid benched him last year. He clearly doesn't have anything left. The film, to me, tells me otherwise. He had, like, throughout the first 10 weeks of the season, I think 4 or 5 times he was averaging at least 5 yards a carry. His first game with the Chiefs against the Jaguars, he averaged 8.1 yards per carry on 11 carries. This is a player that I watch on the tape. The tape does not lie to me. My eyes do not tell me this is a player that's shot. It's a player that doesn't have the juice he used to have, but it's not somebody that has nothing left. You know who had nothing left? Jay Ajayi last year. I thought it was clear when Jay Ajayi came back to the Eagles, that guy was shot. LeSean McCoy at 32 years old, I still don't think has nothing left in the tank. And I think more so the reason Andy Reid kept him as a healthy scratch throughout the playoffs and at the end of the regular season was, I don't think he trusted his ball protection ability. And with such a formidable offense, Andy Reid was kind of scared that McCoy, at times, a turnover could kill that football team, as it did against the Green Bay Packers. But for me, like, yes, it's a problem. But for the Eagles and what they need, what McCoy's role would be, I'm all in on this reunion. I really am.
And I feel like we need to shed a little bit of light on last year. I think it's because how well Damian Williams played
at the end of the year, in the playoffs. Yeah, the second half of the season, for sure.
Right. In the three games, Damian Williams was a starter. He only fumbled one time in those three games. And Damian Williams, Andy Reid had to play the hot hand, and he was the running back.
Lars, I want this to happen.
I think that's
just
the reason why LeSean McCoy kind of got phased out, is because how well Damian Williams played.
No, I'm with you 100%. I'm rooting for this, Lars. I hope I'm not being too fan-ish here with this, but at first I was, but then I went to the film. I actually watched McCoy throughout the season last year. I thought about it from an analytical perspective, and I still think this makes sense. I really do.
I think it's entirely plausible, and if I had to choose between McCoy and Freeman, I would take McCoy because he's going to be healthy. He still has some juice left. And I feel like he complements what Philadelphia has in an offense, I think, more than Freeman does.
And I'm not paying Devonta Freeman more than $4 million. That guy is looking for way more than I think he's worth. And he said offers. He has not been happy with offers. At least that's a report when it comes to Devonta Freeman. The Seahawks offer is the only one that's officially been released to the public. That was 1 year worth $4 million. Considering the Eagles have been interested in Freeman, I'm sure they made an offer too. And the fact that you hear this development that he's willing to sit out until he gets a deal worth his value or supposed value, I think the Eagles offered him something at least, and he's not interested. And again, with the Eagles cap situation next year, with what they have at running back already, with the assets that they've put into that position in the past, to me, everything screams LeSean McCoy reunion, and not just all of that I just said, but the fact that the Eagles the past 3 years, Lars, have been trying to make this happen, and now McCoy's talking it into existence. It makes sense. It would be the perfect end to this Howie Roseman reunion tour of, like, pretty much redoing everything that Chip Kelly did, and I absolutely love it. From a fan perspective, from a storytelling perspective, I would eat this up if this happens. And I think from an analytical perspective, from an on-the-field perspective, I think it makes sense.
I'm with you. And
I'm with you, man.
I think that before we wrap up, and there's one last thing that I wanted to bring up, at least regarding Devonta Freeman.
Sure.
I know that we touched on health concerns. Look, there's a reason why Tevin Coleman was used as often as he did, often as he was, because Tevin Coleman was somebody who, when Devonta Freeman was just flat out not getting anything on the ground, they always went to Tevin Coleman. He was their pass catcher. Mm-hmm. He was a Swiss Army knife, could do everything. Devonta Freeman is a rather one-dimensional player.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, people are nervous about McCoy and his age. And yet, like, Devonta Freeman, I know he's 4 years younger, but he's dealt with so many more injuries, and yet everybody, I feel like the consensus, I feel like a lone shark, a lone wolf on Twitter saying, hey, I think McCoy makes sense on Twitter. Everybody else is like, no, it's got to be Carlos Hyde, it's got to be Devonta Freeman. I'm like, I don't think so.
No, I mean, I think in terms of overall play, I think
Freeman's
Freeman
a better player.
I think Devonta Freeman has dropped off a cliff after 2016.
I agree. I think Freeman still has the potential to be a much better player than McCoy long term. But again, it comes down to what the Eagles need just for 2020 and how much money they want to put into it. And to me, the stars are aligning for this reunion to happen. Lars agrees with me, which I'm really glad I brought him on the podcast today. I think Gino agreed, but to a certain extent, Lars. I don't think it's as much as me and you, but I'm ready to see Shady McCoy come back and have number 25 repped in Midnight Green for the first time since 2014. You can find Lars on Twitter at LarsLewis12. You can find me on Twitter at DiBiase, LOE, and we do 4 to 6 episodes a week right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast on any podcast platform or on Lockdown Eagles. .com. If you could leave us a review and a rate, hopefully 5 stars, it's how we grow the show and continue to churn out as much content for you as we do. Lars, man, thanks for coming on the pod today, bud.
Ah, this was a great pleasure. I love doing this, and hopefully I don't have to wait another 2 months.
No, you won't. We got So for our listeners, I think you heard me mention it to Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports the other day, but me, Lars, Jordan Hanskin, who you heard on this podcast before, and my co-host Gino Camilleri, we're doing an all-time Eagles draft, and we're gonna draft teams. Basically, it's a fantasy draft with all-time Eagles available, and we're going to put it into Madden, and we're going to simulate the games. It's a lot of fun. My brother, who's the host of Locked On Sabres, did this with the Sabres. We're going to do this with the Eagles in a couple weeks, so Lars, we'll hear from you in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Can't wait.
All right, so that's going to do it for Lars Lewis and myself, Louis DiBiase, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Let's go Birds.